Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
I hope you're doing well and that you had a great Christmas. And by great Christmas, I mean that there was some time during those special days that you were thinking of Jesus and the gift that he is to us and what he brought to us by crossing the universe in order that we could be numbered among his children. Sherry and I were able to spend Christmas Day together and then go spend some time with my elderly father. That was special. It looks like soon, during the new year, we'll be able to go and have some time with all of our children. So this season is a time to enjoy family and friends and to remember that Christ is right at the center in all that he has done. So we're in this series, and the series is about the movement that takes place in our lives on the journey of spiritual maturity and spiritual growth. And so, as you remember, we have been walking through certain words that represent, if you will, doorways or signposts on this wonderful journey that God takes us on to grow closer to Christ, to be more secure in our intimacy with him, and to be more bonded in union with him. And so we spent a few weeks, as you remember, talking about awakening, the idea that the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and he awakens us to a number of very important things. And remember that awakening is not a one moment in time, but it's an ongoing season of awakening that happens in our lives. I hope you're being aware of that in your own life, that there is a degree to which you're conscious of the Holy Spirit's work to do this ongoing awakening. You remember we talked about several things that had to do with that, the notion of awaken to the movement of the kingdom, awaken to God in the present moment, awaken to the fullness of Christ, awakening to the whole idea that God wants to unleash within us the fullness of our true self, all those ideas of an ongoing awakening that takes place in our lives. And then we move from awakening to abiding, and we even talked about the scripture in 1 John 2 that relates anointing to abiding, that as we move forward from abiding into anointing, that there's a relationship between abiding. And so we've seen these three movements that have taken place in our lives, the idea of awakening leading to deeper abiding, abiding impacting anointing. Well, what we're going to talk about today, and probably one more time, is the notion of authority. And this came to my mind just the other day. We're in a brutal cold spell here in Ohio. It's really, really cold outside. When I went out to feed our animals down at the barn, it demanded that I bundle right up. It looks like for the next 5 days, nighttime will be below zero. So on Christmas Day, Sherry and I went out and we spent some time with my father, my elderly father, who's in an assisted living facility. And while we were there, it began to snow, and on the way home, it was rather slippery, and we actually saw some police who were stopping cars in order to make safety for another car that had slid off the road. And I noticed something, that this policeman was standing on the road, and as cars were coming slowly around the corner, he just lifted up his hand, and as he lifted up his hand, these cars stopped. And I began to think about, that's the notion of both power and authority. You know, if I'm standing along the side of the road and I lift my hand, it's very unlikely that anybody's going to stop unless they're curious about what it is that I'm asking of them. But when a police officer stands on the side of the road, sees you coming, lifts his hand, there's something about that that people know I need to slow down and possibly stop, because there's an officer of the law there and he's signaling to me that he wants me to stop in order that they can take care of whatever it is that's happening further down the highway. Now, look, the reason we stop is twofold for a police officer. One, because he has authority. Normally, they have a uniform on, they're carrying a badge, and we recognize in our culture that that uniform and that badge is a symbol of authority. He can either be a local township or city police officer, possibly he is a county police officer, even a state patrolman. But when we see that car marked as police, when we see those red lights or the red and blue lights, when we see a person with a badge raise their hand and say stop, we stop because they have authority. But not only do they have authority, behind that authority, there is power. Now, of course, one of the symbols of power is the fact that they're wearing a sidearm. But more importantly, we are smart enough to know that this one police officer is a member of a larger group of police officers who are then assigned responsibilities and given power. And so these are two things that are very important in our discussion as we begin to go down the road of considering how awakening deepens abiding, that births anointing that enables us then to move with authority. Authority and power go hand in hand. You know, if you had some neighbor and that neighbor began to, if you will, do something illegal. Let's say they began to sell drugs out of their home. If you walked over and you knocked on the door and you said, hey, I want you to stop that, it's not likely that they would do a single solitary thing. But if a police officer came to the door, especially if the police officer had a summons in their hands, everything changes because the officer holds the authority to then institute the requirements of the law on someone that's not fulfilling those regulations, power and authority. Now, one of the things that I think is very important for us to come to understand as Christians, and that's you, is that because of Jesus, we have been given power and authority. Not power and authority to do anything, but power and authority to represent Jesus. I think I said this one other time on a podcast. As a kid, I always loved those medieval movies with a lot of swordplay and knights. And there was always something about someone pounding on a door and saying, open in the name of the king. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means open as though it were the king in all of his authority and all of his power knocking on this door. Well, that's an important image for us as we begin to talk about authority when it comes to being a follower of Jesus Christ. That all followers of Christ, because we are with Jesus, have been given a certain degree of authority and power. That's the word authority is exousia, and the word power, of course, is dunamis, of which we get the word dynamite, that all Christians are given a certain degree of authority and power because of being positioned with Jesus. Now, I want to read a little passage of Scripture to you. And it's found in Luke, and it's a very important passage because it gives us the idea of what Jesus does. After this, the Lord appointed 72 and sent ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Now, then it says this, the 72 returned with joy, and they said, Lord, even demons submit to us in your name. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, and you have revealed them to little children. Wow, this is a very, very important passage of Scripture. Because this scripture is telling us that Jesus was able to take his authority and his power, and in some miraculous way, he was able to give it to his followers. They were exercising authority and power in Christ's name to act on his behalf, and in acting on his behalf, do so in his power. Wow, That's amazing, especially for many of us as Christians, because I think we question to what degree do we have this power. But, you know, the Bible's pretty clear about the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of us. Ephesians 1 talks about the presence of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of us. But I'm not sure that we often know the degree to which we have been given authority and power to go forward and to confront darkness, to speak healing, and to proclaim the message that the kingdom of God has come near. Now, when you get a chance, I'd like you to spend some time reading Ephesians 1, verses 19 to 23. Really important and powerful passage of Scripture. Now, in this passage of Scripture, there's a number of things that talk about where our authority rests as it is found in Christ. So let me give you a series of short phrases. The first thing it says is that Jesus has been raised from the dead. And you'll remember that it was Paul that said in Romans that that was a done deal. The fact that Jesus was raised from the dead proved that Jesus was who he said he was. He was the Son of God. Then it goes on and says that Jesus is seated at God's right hand. Now, that's a symbol, again, of authority and power. And it says in the text, far above all other rule, all other authority, all other power, all of other dominion. Okay, so what we're talking about there is the fact that this is not about a consensus. This is not about people gathering together and voting to decide what's going to happen. No, it says that Jesus, at the right hand of God, sits with all rule, all authority, all power, and all dominion. It goes on and says, above every name that can be invoked, not only above every name, but every name in this age and every name in the age that is yet to come, and that all things are under his feet, that Jesus is head over everything, and then it says, for the church, for the church. So we've got to get this picture in our mind of knowing who Jesus really is. Now, we touched this a little bit under awakening, awakening to the fullness of Christ. But now we want to look at that same theme when it comes to the notion of the authority that is ours in Christ. Jesus is actually the cosmic Christ. Colossians tells us that he's not only the incarnate Word, but he has now become the one that holds all authority over everything in this world, everything in this universe. Christ in us, it says in Colossians, is the hope of glory, that we are complete in him, and therefore there is a degree to which we are actually able to operate in his authority and in his power. Now, I think a lot of us as Christians don't understand that. I know I haven't. And I, even now, there are times that I cower when in fact I should be leaning forward, knowing who we are in Jesus. So I'm going to use a silly illustration, but it sure works for me because I remember as a kid, I would watch the Andy Griffith Show. Andy Griffith was a local sheriff in a small town, and he had a deputy. Now, Andy was known as Andy Taylor, and his deputy was Barney Fife. Now, what was very interesting is that Barney Fife, he loved all of the accoutrements to being a deputy. The uniform, he carried a gun, he loved to act boldly, but when things got tough, he would fumble around, he couldn't get his gun out of the holster, he'd have to try to put his bullet in, which he was only allowed to keep in his pocket, and more often than not, he fired it into the ground. And yet there's Andy Taylor that usually had one pant leg up into his boot and the other down over, and he didn't wear a gun and he didn't wear a hat, and yet he walked with a certain amount of authority and he knew what it is that he was empowered to do and he would act upon it. So the question that I ask myself, and now I'm asking you, is that when it comes to walking in Christ, am I Andy Taylor or am I Barney Fife? Do I have a deep, abiding confidence that because I am with Jesus, that I'm able to exercise authority? The darkness has to, in some way, when I am representing Jesus, recognize that. Or am I afraid? Do I don't even want to bring it up? Do I fumble? Do I wonder? Do I not speak with authority when it comes to these issues of really advancing the kingdom of God? I think this is a very, very important point for us as we begin to consider moving forward in our discussion about authority. Authority is about knowing who Jesus is, but also knowing who you are in Jesus. Now, we talked a little bit about this when we were dealing with the question of identity. Remember that because of what Christ has done, and he's given us union with God, all that is true of Christ as God's Son, is now recognized as true of us as his adopted children. That's something Andrew Purvis taught in one of his book called The Crucifixion of Ministry, which, by the way, is a very great and important book for us to be reading. But are you able to see that we are not these waifs that are off into the corner begging for a piece of bread, but now, because of Christ, we have been given authority. The same theme comes through in the story of the prodigal son, that as he comes home, he's given not only the celebration of being home, but he's given both the symbol of authority and the symbol of power. And I think a lot of us as Christians are being run over by darkness, not recognizing, in fact, that Jesus said that the gates of hell will not prevail against the movement of the kingdom, and we are part of the movement of the kingdom. Okay, now, a lot of this is kind of mystery to me, but yet it's true. It speaks to it straight in Scripture, that knowing who Jesus is, that the cosmic Christ, he holds all things together. Someday, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Another thing that it says in Scripture is that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Now, that comes in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. I'd love you to spend some time looking that up. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. How does it happen? I'm not sure I can explain that. How can I be here and also seated with Christ? But it definitely has to do with my position of authority with Jesus as now one of the sons of God, as you are one of the sons or daughters of God. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Somehow Jesus is passing on to us, like he did his disciples in the Gospel of Luke, authority to represent the kingdom, to preach the message of the kingdom, to press back those that have been encased in darkness, to be able to share the good news of God's love, and to be able to pray for all kinds of healing, emotional healing, relational healing, physical healing, and so forth. That God has given us that authority. Now, obviously, we need to grow into it, and it does relate, hear this, to anointing, abiding, and awakening. I think there were a lot of times in my life I tried to exercise authority, but I wasn't understanding the ongoing awakening of the Spirit in my life. I wasn't spending time abiding with Jesus. I wasn't allowing that abiding to impact the anointing on my life. And then I tried to do something in authority, and it just didn't feel as though it had the power that it should have. But if we understand this flow of the Christian life that you're part of, you're part of that flow, that as you say yes to the ongoing awakening that takes place in your life and you make room for the abiding that is ours in Jesus, and that abiding begins to influence the degree to which you are experience the anointing, the presence of Jesus on you, that then it begins to move forward into your ability to speak with authority. Now, here's a point that we're going to revisit the next time, but I think it's important that I talk about it here. It's important that we realize that Jesus has given us authority to act in his name. Can you imagine that there are some hungry people seated in front of us, and there behind us is a table filled with food? And we begin to pray and ask Jesus, please give them some food. Well, I think what Jesus would say to us is just pick up some food and hand it to them. You're acting on my behalf. You don't need to ask me to do something as much as you need to have confidence in my name that you can do something and that you can speak that. Why would we even consider that that could be a truth for us? Well, these two things are very important that we see. Jesus has all authority. He is the cosmic Christ. He is filled with power. And then he says to his children, I will seat you with me in heavenly places, which is this idea that you are a person that has authority in your life. So one of the things that Sherry and I want to do in our lives is to learn how to raise up and to speak with authority. When difficulty comes, we're able to, in Jesus' name, speak and press that back. If we are seeking to minister to someone, we want to be the same way. And we're going to talk about that more specifically the next time we're together. But right now, I want you to recognize this. You are part of the great, not just family of God, but the army of God. And as that, you have been given authority. And behind that authority is God's power. And that if you're willing to go on this journey, ongoing awakening, deeper abiding, more intense anointing, you're going to be able, in Jesus' name, because of the cosmic Christ, and because you're seated with him, to do what Jesus told his disciples to do. Speak that good news of the coming of the kingdom. Press back that darkness. And in Jesus' name, reach out a healing hand to a world that is broken in order that they can find peace in him. I hope you're going to have a great new year, that God's going to open amazing blessings before you, that there are going to be serendipitous moments of him coming and being very close in his presence. And we're going to have more time to talk about this journey of the Christian life that takes us into deeper intimacy, that establishes a strong base of our identity in Jesus, and that also bonds us all the more in the union that is ours in Christ. Well, I hope you have a happy new year, and I'll look forward to being with you again soon.